Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Welcome, my friends. Welcome, Alex Jones here, coming to you live from Arizona, Northern Arizona. It is, of course, the 18th day of November, 2011, on this live Friday edition, and we are going to be here for the next 3 hours. I am coming to you via video Skype again from Arizona, where I am traveling through the Southwest until I get back next Wednesday, kind of retracing some of the places I went to and some places I didn't go to back in 1997 to see what the United Nations Biosphere World Heritage Site takeover has basically metastasized into. I was at the Carlsbad Cavern National Park yesterday and ran into a cornucopia of Big Brother activities. In fact, it was an orgy of control freakism and anti-human global indoctrination with now the National Park Rangers festooned with firearms and tasers walking around like it's a Supermax prison with their eyes in slits, just literally thinking that terrorists are under every table. So we're going to be breaking that down today. Aaron Dykes is going to be riding shotgun with us and bringing in the latest news as it breaks. Obviously, throughout the week, we've been having Gerald Celente on because of MF Global. I was watching CNBC just about an hour ago, and they had the anchor there at the desk, a male gentleman. I meant to write down his name, but didn't have time. I think they were calling him Jamie something. And, of course, they had the attractive Asian young lady who's on in the morning, along with Kramer and one other person. And the host, who was anchoring to the people out on Wall Street, Kramer and the other people, he was saying that it looks like this MF Global is some type of theft and crime, and that now the $600 million that they claimed they knew where it was, now it's gone, and this is sending the markets down. And then they come back to Kramer and the other talking heads, and they were like, no, this is not a big deal. This is not illegal. I'm sure it's just an accident. And about 5 minutes later, the other anchor host said, yes, it's no big deal. It's just rumors, nothing to them. You could tell somebody had popped into his ear and told him, do not say this is destroying confidence. Do not say people don't like being swindled. And they cut back to the female anchor, field anchor, and she's like, yes, this just happens when you're involved in commodities. No big deal. Of course, Celente's been in it since the early 70s. I've made a novice study of it. This was money in his what's the term they use? Segregated account. It's like a bank account. And they took it, and they took 33,000 other people's money. He won't say how much it is above 100,000, but it's a lot more than 100,000. Now, Aaron Dykes is riding shotgun with us. We've got a lot of other news. Everything is coming to a head right now. But this MF Global situation is huge. So Celente is joining us in T-minus 26 minutes from now. And we've also got huge, huge attacks on the First Amendment and the Internet. That bill's moving through Congress right now. That's a red alert situation, that so-called copyright bill. No judge, no jury. They just take your website down and blacklist you from the Internet. ECB riots against the European Central Bank begin in Italy as globalist Super Mario forces austerity. Raise the taxes, cut the benefits, raid the pension funds, pay it all to the mega banks. Herman Cain, we've got a report here, The Whore of Babylon by Patrick Henningsen, one of our great writers. Russian warships enter Syrian waters to prevent NATO attack. Huge developments on that front. And we've also got reports that the Germans, through the Euro, are trying to block, now get this, we'll come back with Aaron, are trying to block the Brits, or people in the UK generally, from being able to vote on being brought into the new EU dictatorship. It's all coming up with Alex Jones, Aaron Dykes, Gerald Celente, and more. Stay with us.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie!
No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives, even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream, and the stake has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
This country, this world, has been given over to a great and powerful delusion. And the more that the deception is pulled from my eyes, the more I stare into the heart and soul of the New World Order, the more I am not even angry or even frustrated anymore. I am sad. Because let me tell you, it's not people that want money and power that are running things. It's people that love pain and destruction and death, and they want control to do horrible things. You can call it the devil, whatever you want. If there's not a devil, these people might as well be devils, because I can't imagine a devil being like this. It is so destructive, it is so evil, it is so out of control. We're going to go to Casey, Michael, Eric, Josh, Matthew, and others here in just a moment. Then I'll get into some more news here today. But we're not a negative radio show. The things we talk about are happening. I wish they weren't. But denying it's going on only makes it worse. Denying it's happening only makes it worse. And there's so many thousands of different flavors of bull out there. But if you go read globalist white papers, study history, research their program, study the scientific megalomania of these people, you understand what's going to happen. And it is an incredible responsibility to be one of the few outlets. And luckily, we understood this in the last decade. We got a clearer image of it. And 17 years ago, not so much, but I was still doing some good then. It's all a wake-up process for all of us. But in the last decade or so, I've really cracked the code of these people and figured out exactly what they're about. And now it's becoming very evident we were completely right and then some. And we've got a fighting chance. And I'm seeing a lot of other people click to our lens, because we all see things through a lens, but our lens really decodes the globalist operations. And if you've got the will, you can see what we see. And let me tell you, I say the will because you're going to be living with the devils every day. I mean, you think you see evil now, folks? When you actually pull back the curtain, it's everywhere. And let me tell you, it is not fun. Somebody mailed me an animated movie called Dead Space 2. It's like a movie off a video game. And really, it's a, I would say, kind of an adaptation of that Russian film where the cosmonauts are out at this planet, and the planet itself's like an entity, or you know, it's haunting them or whatever. And I'm not saying I believe that stuff's real. What I'm saying is, this morning I was on the treadmill watching it, and they go dig up this artifact on the planet, and Dead Space 2 is like once the rescue ship gets there. And the rescue ship's actually the big global corporate government, the galactic government. It's killing its own people and torturing them to get answers. And they send them out there to be a setup, kind of like an Alien, where they send the mining crew on their way back to land on a planetoid to dig something up. And, you know, they don't find out till 50, 60 years later when they get back, or one of them gets back, that it was all a setup. They were sent there as guinea pigs. See, they tell you in all these movies, but I'm watching this, and in the first episode, I'm going to your calls, they've blown up part of the planet to destroy this artifact that basically caused all these mutations on the ship and all this horrific stuff to happen. It's like a DNA generator. a mutation generator, basically, or at least that's how it's operating, malfunctioning, some ancient 56 million-year-old artifact. And they go back, they want pieces of it. So they send them back down to get pieces of it, and one guy picks up a piece, and then it basically causes him to start hallucinating, but he's not really hallucinating. He's like seeing interdimensionally, and it's manipulating him. He sees like his dead daughter, the little girl who got run over by a car, and it shows that happening to her. And then it basically tries to lead him off the edge of a cliff. And then, you know, he's seeing all these horrible demon creatures grabbing on his daughter, trying to pull her into him. And it basically maneuvers him into, you know, killing a bunch of the crew. But again, it's that archetype. That's not real. But that's basically what the globalists manifest. They trick us. They manipulate us. They play humans like a concert pianist plays a piano or a concert violinist plays a violin. They manipulate us. And that goes without saying, but the manipulation is so many layers deep. And then when you really research it, you find out they did all this just because they like to kill people and they're a bunch of sickos. And then good people are smarter and are better and more creative, but good people never reach for that stuff. They never would think to manipulate. They would never think to learn all these bad things. They would never think. So we're like blind to these people. And I watch the population like a bunch of lobotomized sheep with these demonic wolves tearing their guts out as the sheep smile and thank them. I mean, it's unbelievable. And it's like that, you know, an archetype of just seeing the demons everywhere. Well, that's how it is for me to watch the news or read things or see the propaganda or hear it. Is that it's just, it's always in my face. It's always there. It's always, and my whole will is set against it. But then I look at all the servants of this evil. They're 99% of them are compartmentalized and have no idea what they're part of, have no idea. If they knew, there's no way that they would ever be part of this. But even though a lot of them have the intelligence to grasp it, it's spiritual and it's discernment. And they won't admit the first levels of it to themselves. They certainly can't ever get the deep wisdom. And that's what Christ said, you know, while they're torturing him. He says, "Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do." Those Romans flaying off his skin for no reason, with his bones sticking out, getting off on the pain. They thought they were law and order. They were getting a bad guy. They were, and it's like that with the special forces soldiers and that work for all major governments that have been trained to do horrible crimes. And now the video games all, because I read about them, simulate torturing people to get answers. Or I saw a video game last week, dude was showing me, where you kill cops because it's for the greater good, so the bomb doesn't blow up and blow up the Brooklyn Bridge, because the cops are going to end up killing the guy with the bomb and it's going to detonate. So that doesn't happen. They kill the cops, but it's for a greater good. Once that idea is introduced, once that virus is introduced, it's over. And they take, the sickest part is they take some of the best men who really believe they're doing good. And once they commit small evils in the name of a greater good, now they psychologically will produce an envelope or a membrane around that where they'll do more evil things and never admit any of it's wrong because they couldn't be a bad person. When you figure out that the devil's chariot is pulled by people that think they're saints, oh, man, all I can say for those of you that have decided to serve the system, you better think twice. You better pray to God to open your eyes, because, or if you've ever had bad feelings about what you're doing, but you don't know why, you better assess what you're part of. And you, you're signing on to pure evil. I mean, you're signing on to something that's beyond anything I could even articulate, beyond anything I could even grasp.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us, my friends. I'm Alex Jones reporting on the road here in northern Arizona on the United Nations globalist takeover of our national parks and other public lands. I'm retracing some of the steps that I was on 14 years ago when I made America destroyed by design. We've been shooting a lot of high def video of what's happened. And when I get back to Austin next week, we'll have that for the nightly news and for the syndicated radio transmission that you're tuned into right now. In the meantime, via my iPhone, I filed a report from Carlsbad Caverns yesterday where it was a out-of-control police state exercise, and I think that in a few years, if this doesn't stop, the national parks will be like entering an airport with the TSA. I saw the national park rangers, some of them wearing firearms and tasers, walking around with their arms out like they were tough guys, questioning everyone. They would come over and talk to you and others. It wasn't just us. I thought they knew who I was at first. That wasn't what it was, and that they were singling me out. Turned out they were interrogating everybody. But that's just normal now in America. Like when you go rent a car, get a hotel room, if they're part of Patriot Act compliance, you get 20 questions. So I'm going to be breaking some of that down later today. Gerald Celente is going to be joining us coming up here in about 22 minutes from now. A top trends forecaster who had over six figures, over $100,000 taken out of his private account. Reuters, AP, they've all admitted that it basically is a type of theft. If it turns out it was done on purpose and if they don't return it, at MF Global, and they're admitting that these were segregated accounts. This was money he'd made in the market, money he'd invested and then made in gold futures, and that it was then his money. And they've taken other cash accounts from people as well. 33,000+ MF Global bought the trading firm that he'd been trading with and using since the early 70s. And he's never seen anything like this. And I was watching MSNBC this morning, just an hour and a half ago or so, and they had the host there anchoring it, talking to the three reporters, Kramer and two other people, on the ground at the New York Stock Exchange. And he was saying, well, what's driving down the market right now, the intel we're getting is there's no confidence now in the government. There's no confidence now in these companies, especially in futures. That's why the markets are going down. We thought that the bankruptcy of MF Global hadn't signaled a new Bear Stearns or type situation in 2008. But now that the money's missing, they said that they had just misplaced it. Now they won't say where it went. This is destroying confidence. And this is, well, really theft. That's what this is. This is theft. And then he throws it. I meant to write down his name, but couldn't find a pen here in the hotel room. He throws it to Kramer and the attractive woman and the other guy. And they just all say, no, it's perfectly fine. It's no big deal. It's all just an accident. Perfectly reasonable. And then about 5 minutes later, I'm sitting there reading the newspaper, surfing the web, getting ready for the show, doing research. And he goes, oh, just to be clear, there's nothing to the rumors that the money was stolen. No one knows where it is, but it's no big deal, quite normal, no big deal. He didn't correct himself. He just retracted everything by what he said 5 minutes later. So somebody got in his ear after the break and said, you listen here, buddy. And again, I'm not watching many of these financial shows. I've been on the road shooting video, doing interviews with locals, really learning a lot about what's happening out here out west. What spurred me to want to do this trip, about 6 months ago, my parents went out to Montana and Wyoming and visited family, friends, fellow patriots. And they've just talked about how the government's trying to encroach there and the things that are happening. So I figured I'd come back out west. And I'm not going to say the other national parks and places I'm going in the next 4 days because I don't want them to be waiting for me. You know, I wanted to go to Carlsbad Caverns, be friendly, be nice, have my wife, have my children. Richard's with us, helping with the technical stuff. And I want to just come in all friendly and nice and see what it was like. And I've been to Carlsbad Caverns 4 times before this, and it's really a big police state now. Now, tying in to Gerald Celente coming up, we're about to get some other news and some recaps of some of the stuff we already mentioned, and get Aaron Dykes' take, who's riding shotgun with us throughout the 3 hours today. And I certainly appreciate the fantastic job he did and the crew did yesterday with that in-depth breakdown of the censorship of the proof of FEMA camps in America. and also the fact that they're hiding geoengineering, terraforming, chemtrailing in plain view. Amazing job with Aaron Dykes. But I wanted to go over some of the news here. Sprint launches soon-to-be mandatory emergency alert messages. We told you years ago this was coming. Government said they're going to do it. They're going to commandeer your computer, your cell phone. Jumbotrons will be everywhere in public. License plates will be digital that will flash images and alerts. Cell phones will be mandatory in all new cars and will listen to you inside your car. How do I know all this is coming? And of course, much of it has now happened because I read the government documents. Homeland Security 3 years ago was actually entertaining and recommending to Congress and the federal government that they get funding to pilot taser bracelets on everyone getting on planes. This is beyond Orwell. Okay? I know what's coming because I saw the federal purchase orders for Austin alone in 1998 for $844,000 in microphones hidden in lampposts. Then I learned it went nationwide in the last 12 years or so, 13 years. Now they're announcing it to the slaves. We know what we're talking about. Some people are experts on football or acting trendy or, I don't know, acting tough or whatever the general public does. I'm actually into the real world. I'm actually into science, quantum mechanics. I'm into literature, history, astronomy. Not because I think it's trendy and cool to be into that. I'm really into giant gas giants exploding and huge coronal mass ejections and gigantic star cluster formations that Hubble telescope has photographed. I want to know the secrets of the universe in my limited consciousness, my tiny time to be alive. I don't want to be filled full of Madison Avenue crud as they sell us slavery. And because I've made a 20-year study, almost 17 years, it'll be 17 years in February, on air, on Access TV and then AM and FM, and now today XM, close to 100 AM and FM stations, Global Shortwave, all of it, I want to infect others with my love of life and that curiosity and that creative spirit that is the creative drive of humanity. You're either creative or you're destructive. You're either into love and building and strength, or you're into destruction and death. And all of us have both sides of that in us. But it's what side do we reach for? I reach for the light. I reach for the good. I reach for the truth, no matter what comes of all of this. Now, huge developments are taking place, and I'll get into this once Salente is on with us, and then more later with Aaron. We're going to open the phones up in the second and third hour. We may have Kaiser and Tarpley popping in from Syria. He wanted to come on today. He's there reporting, but we're unable to get a hold of him, and he's also been in zones where snipers are firing on people. Very, very brave to be facing up to the CIA slash Mossad slash Wahhabi Saudi Arabian terror forces that are there on the ground. But Russian warships enter Syrian waters to prevent NATO attack. So we're going to be breaking that down. We're not saying Syria is good either. The point is, this is all part of a globalist plan. But the big news is there's riots all over Europe as they announce, we're taking part of your pension fund. We're raising your taxes. Well, that'll bankrupt my restaurant, my hotel, my business. Sorry, too bad. It's got to be paid to the bankers. You've got to go into slavery to them because they created the debt.
Government want to go after Amish people selling their neighbor's milk? Why are they harassing organic farmers? Why are they trying to arrest women with gardens in their yard? You've seen all that craziness, worse than the old Soviet Union. Because the global technocrats, the Fortune 100, owned by the big six mega banks, want to shut down normal, human, self-sufficient society. And to do it, to shut down true independent sustainability, they bring in the counterfeit UN Agenda 21 sustainability. Now, here's an example of this
on the wide scale. Look at Greece. You've seen the news articles about all these hundreds of Greek islands. They have hundreds of them, some of which have now been transferred for $6 billion in debt, one island alone, that were owned by the state and the people, have been given to the big mega banks and brokerage firms that actually induced Greece into debt. Do you understand that? They're taking their national and state parks and public lands and giving it to the same big brokerage firms that entice their government to get involved in all this fraud and to sign on to the derivatives that they created. So to bail out the bankers, you then also give them your property. So back in 97, I learned about the executive order Bill Clinton had put into place, transferring our national parks and other key monuments and public lands and buffer zones worth trillions of dollars overall, the minerals, everything, over to the UN as collateral to the IMF and World Bank, just as you see happen in third world countries where the IMF World Bank come in and take the land. We had the executive order. We had the Kentucky legislature talking about it. I traveled around the country, and I would pull into the Grand Canyon, you name it, and politely walk in and say, I'd like to talk about the UN plaque. I'd like to talk about what's happening. And they would blow up and threaten to arrest me. And that's on tape at the Grand Canyon and other places in America, Sway by Design. So I've decided to travel back across the Southwest and visit some of the same national parks and some others that I hadn't visited in that film, like Carlsbad Caverns here in southern New Mexico. And that's why InfoWars.com, InfoWars Nightly News, is here. That's why we're covering this information. Now, I came here several times as a child. I came here in college. I came here 6 years ago with my wife and two children. Now I have a third child. I wanted her to see it before she gets too big. We're here again as part of this research project. I brought my family along on the RV. From the minute we get here, it's changed since 6 years ago. I'm going to run over just some of it, because one thing alone is not a big deal. But as it added and built up, Richard kept saying, well, wonder what's going to happen next. We walk in, and I see some of the park rangers with tasers and guns walking around, all tough guy, like they're in an airport or something, and terrorists must be everywhere, okay? So I think, well, whatever. You know, maybe they're Forest Service or something. I don't know why they need guns and tasers, but okay. Everything's okay in America. Same visitor center I've been to many times, the elevator ride down, 800 feet and all of it. So then I go up to the counter, and I go up, and I was wondering why there was one group ahead of us and why it took so long to get them through. And I thought, man, these people are slow. So I get up there. There's hardly any tourists here today. There's literally more park rangers than there are tourists. I probably saw 40 or 50 total. About 20 at one time. So I get up there and I find out why. I'm being interrogated. I'm being told rules. And I'm being asked if I've ever been in mine shafts or caves recently and where. And I said, no, 6 years ago here. I thought it was small talk, but she was asking it real stern, like I was, you know, TSA or something. She was TSA and I was at the airport. And I said, no, I told you I'm here 6 years ago. And she goes, really? Not anywhere on the East Coast or anywhere there. And I said, no. I said, I've been here in the last cave. Well, where? What other caves you been to? One in Mexico one time, a decade ago or more, a couple around Texas. What caves in Texas? I don't remember the names. And I was like, what's this all about? And she goes, you don't worry about that. Here's your tickets. And then I went and asked another ranger, and I said, is it that white nose fungus stuff? And he said, yeah. And my mom's so educated, she goes, so informed, she goes, but the Mexican brown bat isn't susceptible to that. And he goes, wow, how do you know that? But the point is, then we walk past that, and a ranger waves the kids over. I'm like, oh, thank God, a nice ranger. He wants to talk to the kids. And he goes, hi, do you know what animal this is? He has a table out. We're trying to go to the elevators. Couldn't get past these people. He wanted his pound of flesh. And so he holds up a white-tailed deer and a puma and shows us a puma skull. And then he goes, one last thing. And he holds up a map of the park underground. And he says, 90% of this is off limits to humans. That's for the animals. Animals need a place, too. I'm like, oh, God, does it never end, this anti-human brainwashing? You know, 90-plus percent of the planet's totally untouched. The globalists are the ones destroying the environment. They got a fake environmentalism to grab property and control. But I didn't say that. I'm like, thank you, because we need to get through the park and get on the next leg of our investigative journey, as my children are basically apprenticing with me. I'm like, thank you. So then we walk out and go down to the natural entrance, because you can't just take the elevators down if you're lazy. And there's another one comes slinking over, and he says, no gum, no food, no this and that. Don't talk. It disturbs the animals and the people. The lecturing continued and continued. I said, thank you. And he was all kind of creeping around, acting weird. And I'm like, God, this is horrible. Now, remember, I've been here at least four times before. This hadn't happened. So then we walk down into the cave, and 100 yards in, there's a camera and a sign that says, cave watch. If you see anything illegal, call this number. 3030 and you know, had the code. Before, those were there if you slipped and fell or needed help or whatever. Now it's tattle on people and cameras everywhere, hidden up in cave crevices. And this goes on and on. And we finally, we don't see any of the park rangers. So we get down to the bottom, 800 feet down, and they're all there bossing people around and stuff. I talked to some. They were a little bit nice. Then I went and got back on the elevator where they have a little gift shop down at the bottom, went back up to the top. I got back off, saw more park rangers with guns and tasers. My family walked in the bathroom. I turned around, and a guy goes, sir, did you just come in because you need to buy a ticket right now, or this is the last 5 minutes to buy a ticket? But he kind of said it, like, and I was like, okay, thank you. No, I've already been down. Thank you. And it's just this oppressive culture of the American people are bad. The American people can't be trusted. Only government is good. They've got new Homeland Security ads in Denver that are airing, and training manuals that Paul Watson wrote about yesterday, where they say even your best friend can't be trusted. They could be a terrorist. Really, what about the government caught shipping drugs into the country? What about the government caught beating people to death? What about the government letting big mega banks rob people and putting their people in as federal regulators? What about all these other companies taking people's bank accounts like MF Global? I mean, what about that? See, this is about us learning to be perps, us learning to be criminals, us learning that we're bad, we have guilt, we're evil. And it just went on and on. There was a bunch of other nanny state stuff. So many, I had to write it down. But again, this park, 90%, is off limits to you. In the final equation, if they discovered this cave like they did 100 and something years ago today, they would guaranteed not let it be open to the public. There are already caves they found in the U.S., Canada, France, and other areas that are huge that they just say are off limits, vital biosphere area. It's all about treating us. We have no rights. We're scum. We're trash. We have no value. And the government is there with the big mega banks to basically pick up the garbage and throw it away. That's what's going on. And more, I mean, I've gone to state parks where they're super rude. Aaron Dykes tried to go to a state park, McKinney Ruffs, with his girlfriend a few weeks ago, and he said they interrogated him. Nice, clean-cut guy, nice, clean-cut girlfriend. They interrogated him like he'd done something wrong and said, is anybody else hiding in the car? It's like when you go rent a car, they interrogate you. Where are you going? What are you doing? Oh, really, who are you visiting? It all goes in a Patriot Act database. And this is all fact. I mean, this is like Stasi East Germany or something. So I wanted to file this boil down before I also post the videos we shot in there today inside the cave and that cover some of what we just broke down here. But it's just all off the charts. So here's kind of a final boil down before I post all the pieces that were, you know, shot live inside the cave. Again, I'm Alex Jones signing off from the Southwest. I'll be reporting throughout the weekend and next week. You'll see our reports posted at PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com. Thank you for watching.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born.
Thank you for joining us. Gerald Celente is going to be our guest for the next 30 minutes. We had him on 2 days ago on the radio show. And now, of course, last night he joined us for InfoWars Nightly News that Rob Due hosted and did a great job along with the crew producing. I was watching CNBC this morning, and the host who was anchoring it went to Cramer, Jim Cramer, and two other field reporters who were in the New York Stock Exchange. And the anchor host, I think they said his name was Jamie, I forget his last name, but this was on about 2-3 hours ago. He said on there. Well, the markets are going down because of MF Global, not because of the bankruptcy, but because first we were told the money disappeared, 600 to 900 million. Now we're told that they found it, but now again, they won't say where it is. This looks like theft. And that's what is really driving down the markets and driving down speculation in commodities and other things. He said, this is really a serious situation. Then he cuts to Cramer and he cuts to the other people. And they all say, well, this type of thing happens sometimes. And, you know, that's what happens when you're speculating or whatever. No, this was segregated accounts. And AP, Reuters, Bloomberg, Forbes, they've all reported this is unprecedented. That's why investors are freaking out and getting out of the market. That's why people don't trust banks. We've already had all these semi-runs on banks, people trying to take their money out of Bank of America, J.P. Morgan, Chase, Wells Fargo, and others, because they understand that. And some of the banks try to refuse to give you your money. You've seen the attempts to ratchet up all these fees. This is what the cashless society is about. They get to take your money and then not get in trouble. So as this broke earlier in the week, suddenly there was going to be judges involved, and they were going to get the money back. Well, now MF Global and all the little companies it grabbed up, like the one that Salente's been doing trades through for more than 30 years, suddenly they were going to give the money back. Now they're saying, we don't know where it is. And it's just a new situation where you don't get your money back. First it was, you might get a little back, and then no, you'll get it all back. And now, sorry, it's gone. And the funny thing was, and I'm going to Gerald, is that about 5 minutes later, they go to break and they come back with the host who's there anchoring, you know, from the news desk. And he goes, actually, just to clarify things, I've researched all these rumors of the money being stolen. And they're just that, they're rumors. We can't confirm. So I just want to say that. So, well, we know the money's gone. And he admitted it was a theft, and that's what's hurting the market. Then he comes back 5 minutes later and was chastised, I guess, behind the scenes in his earpiece or whatever. And it's like, actually, there's nothing to these rumors. He didn't say conspiracy theories. But, you know, the money's gone, but that's just it. So joining us now is Trends Forecast researcher, Trends Forecaster Gerald Salente, who had more than $100,000 taken that was in his account, his money. And he was going to take physical December delivery. And, of course, a lot of people had predicted that you'd see problems in December with delivery because a lot of these companies, they believe, don't have the physical gold. Gerald Salente, thank you for joining us. Give us the latest developments with your case. And then I want to get your take and your expert analysis and breakdown, along with Aaron Dykes, who also rides shotgun with us because I'm on the road. With Germany's secret plans to derail a British referendum on EU, they admit it's a total banker dictatorship, a Goldman Sachs coup, that's Time Magazine, over Europe, but they say how great. Goldman will now manage Europe. They'll fix the problems when they literally piloted the problem with all their minions and all the finance positions, prime minister and president's positions, preparing for this takedown. On the way up, they made tens of trillions selling the derivatives garbage. Now they have the government agents they control sign on to those debts and then have the whore media, or prostitute as you call them, sell the public on it's your debt, it's your fault. And they're telling them, we're taking part of your pension funds. We're taking your money. We're raising your taxes. Sorry if you go out of business. It's our money. Give it to us. So all Hades is literally breaking loose. Gerald Salente.
Yes. Thank you, Alex. Let me first explain, because a lot of people don't seem to understand this. It is like having a layaway plan. You go to a store and you're going to buy something, but you don't have all the money yet. So you just keep adding money into it until you have enough money, and then you go pick it up. Now imagine that you go pick it up, and you go to the place where the store was, and the store is no longer there. And you put all the money in. That's exactly what happened to me. I was building the account, having planned it out, that I would take delivery this month, and kept putting money into my account, building my account until I had enough money. So all those morons out there that are saying what I'm doing, you know, oh, you didn't believe in paper, this and that, you don't know what you're talking about. Number two, I just got off the phone with the broker. Here's the deal. People like myself that had money in the account and the position to pick up the gold, we're getting nothing, zero. Some people are getting 60 cents on their dollar. Now, here's the big lie And those guys, I mean, anybody that watches CNBC and believes those little guys out there that are always, you know, sucking up and bowing down to the money men, you know, they should have their head examined. Because here's the deal. The CME Group, and this is a story that we broke with you last night. The CME Group is the exchange that handles all the delivery, the derivatives and the commodities. That's the exchange, like the New York Stock Exchange handles stocks. The CME Group handles derivatives and commodities. Now, commodities isn't just speculation. Farmers use it. Airlines use it. Millions, that meant millions and millions of people use exchanges and businesses buying futures for delivery. Now, here is what the CEO of the CME Group, Terrence Duffy, said last year. We picked this up after doing research. We pulled it up. This was at a press conference with the former Mayor Daley, who he called his great friend. No customer has ever lost a penny as a result of the clearing member defaulting through the CME Group. That's number one, he said. Number two, and this is the most important part. Since we are the guarantor of every transaction that happens in our markets, we have to guarantee the performance of each and every one of these contracts. To do this, we hold more than $100 billion of collateral to support the transactions that are being done on our markets. Okay, Terry boy, over there in Chicago with your good buddy Daley from the machine, where's the guarantee? I know how to read. I understand English. The CME is either a fraud or this guy's a con or he's a liar. You pick it. It's one of those three because they're saying they guarantee it and we haven't gotten our money and they're saying it's only $700 million short. That's why the markets are falling apart. There is no guarantor. It's a lie, a con, or a fraud.
Gerald, this is news of which the magnitude, I don't even have words to describe. Let me ask you this question, and I think I know I'm going to know the answer, but you're on the inside of this now. And I want to go back over exactly what this broker creature was telling you. I want to break this down. If they're admitting that the markets are falling apart, and especially the futures markets, because this is destroying confidence, if it's well known to even a layman like myself who just studies this as a novice, that if you've got money in your account and that it's yours and it says on the account that it is segregated, that is your money, to take that as total fraud. It's the equivalent of wire fraud or basically bank robbery without a weapon. It's a serious felony. I mean, you can spend life in prison for this. So why over 650, 700, 900, we see different numbers. Let's just say it's 700 million. Why over 700 million with a company that has tens of millions of customers tied into trillions in different forms of assets? Why would they endanger the entire structure at this juncture over 700, 900 million, whatever it really is, less than $1 billion? I think the answer is what you said 3 days ago here.
That's right. They don't have the product. They don't have the gold to deliver. And the same thing's going to happen with ETFs. This is a big fraud. This guy is shooting off his mouth saying that they're going to guarantee it and they have $100 billion in collateral. $100 billion, and Terry boy, you can't come up with $700 million? So my belief is there's no money in there. My belief, this whole thing is one big scam.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're in deep trouble. Incredibly ruthless swindlers that make Madoff look like an angel are in control. They've got our military under their control. Strike anywhere on the earth in an hour. Missiles. Drudge is top link to our article. We'll talk about it after the break with Gerald. Sprint launches soon to be mandatory emergency alert messages. They're taking over the computers, the phones, Jumbotron, tattletale screens. The crooks are going to use the threat of terrorism to clamp down. Gerald's with us in this segment, the next. Very gracious to spend time with us. We'll also tell you in the next segment how you can subscribe to his amazing Trends Journal. And he did predict they'd start grabbing people's accounts and things. This was him just getting gold and had his money in an account to buy it, and they stole that. He was getting the physical gold. So let me tell you, this has pushed my timetable forward. Gerald, you got cut off by the break. This is a short segment. Aaron Dykes is up there in the command chair at InfoWars headquarters in Austin. I'm here in Arizona reporting on the globalist takeover. They're preparing to take over the public lands and receivership, just like Greece. So, Aaron, you pop in anytime. Gerald, please continue with the point you were trying to make as we went to break. And then I want to ask you the question after the break, when the full audience is tuned in. Some stations don't carry this segment. What are you going to do individually against these people that took your money? Gerald Celente.
All right. First of all, finishing what I was saying, is bigger than MF Global. It's a takeover in every way. Look, Alex, those of us that are old enough to remember, and I think about this, whole generations, two generations have no idea what this country used to be like. People could open up a hardware store. You didn't have to go to work as a clerk for Lowe's or Home Depot. You could have your own store. People used to open up their own pharmacies, their drug stores with soda fountains in them. I was a soda jerk during the end of that era. You didn't have to work as a clerk for CVS or Walmart or Rite Aid. People used to be able to open up their own mom and shop stores, clothing stores for men and women. You didn't have to go to Walmart, which controls 10% of the action, and be a clerk for them. People in this country used to be able to start their own businesses and be their own entrepreneurs. And now what they've done, they've taken over virtually every industry in this country. Under Clinton with the broadcasting, putting in the power of the hands of a few. Clear Channel. You know, give me a break, Clear Channel. Clear ripoff. One after another. They've deregulated this country. Laws that were put in place at the turn of the other century to stop the robber barons from robbing us. So what I'm saying is, the MF Global is only part of a much bigger picture. So you ask me, what can we do? There's only one thing I believe, a couple of things we could do, but one of them is break the chains. All you cops out there that keep eating donuts, and you have pension plans, and you have these wonderful retirement plans, you want to see your money when you retire? Guess what? You're not going to get it. Because it's going to go under, most likely, like mine did. So instead of going to Dunkin' Donuts, go to your local coffee shop. What people need to understand, Alex, is that these huge companies, and the MF Global is the perfect example, are so leveraged that you take away a little bit, like $700 million, to the entire CME group, and you start seeing the whole thing collapse. The whole thing begins to collapse. All you need to do is, everybody, if you do your share and stop supporting the chains, we could bring this country back to an entrepreneurial country. Another thing, I keep hearing it all the time. You know, they blame labor for everything. You want everyday low prices? You have everyday low quality with everyday low quality jobs.
You got it. Stay there, Gerald. Got to go break. Sorry to interrupt. We'll be right back. Stay with us. TrendsResearch.com.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Alex Jones here reporting from Arizona. I'm traveling across the Southwest, filing video reports at InfoWars at Nightly News. We're going to have a bunch of video tonight of some of the police state activity we've witnessed, 7 o'clock Central at PrisonPlanet.tv. Of course, Gerald Celente is with us for the rest of this segment, TrendsResearch.com. He heads up the Trends Research Institute, and he really helped break the dam on the cover-up 3 days ago, the fact that MF Global was keeping people's money. That was not in the news really until then. Now it's admitted, but the media's like, well, the CFTC did say this was illegal, but no one's going to get in trouble. It's a new system. We take your money out of your own personal account. That was illegal before, but now it's a new system. We've got to do this, the Wall Street Journal says, to save things. And Bloomberg Radio, CNBC, TV, that I've heard them all say over and over again, well, we got to get rid of freedom in Europe. That'll fix the system. If you take everything and raise taxes and cut benefits, that will prop up the world system. It's the banksters that destroyed the world system. And they're using this, they're riding this tiger as they destroy the system to gain all the power. Now, Gerald Celente is our guest. We're also top linked on Drudge, drudgereport.com. Sprint launches soon-to-be mandatory emergency alert messages. Again, I've seen them activating all the stuff now that they've been getting ready for martial law for decades. That's how I've been able to come on air in the last few years and say, we're getting close. This is going to happen next. They're going to call it a technocracy. Remember that ad I cut 3 months ago saying a global banking technocracy? What does all the news say? Thank God the technocrats are going to save us. Technocrat is an authoritarian system, meaning a faceless technological bureaucrat. It's like, you know, calling Hitler a fascist. Well, this is a form of fascist, creepy behind the scenes, not ostentatious, but little, you know, like a bed bug that creeps out at 3 a.m. and sucks your blood. This is not a big frontal assault like Hitler, Stalin, Mao. Okay, this is a creeping, sneaky attack. And Gerald Celente is our guest. After he leaves us coming up here in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to go to your phone calls with Aaron Dykes and then follow my report here on air next hour dealing with the UN takeover. Gerald, it's all coming true, as you said. Because you're a guy who never plugs himself. How do people get your incredible weekly trends blast? I know a lot's on the website. How do they also get the big quarterly report that is so in-depth that you really craft and polish like a sculptor with such precision? How do they find out more?
Thank you. Trendsjournal.com. And again, I want to say, Alex, that we do our best to make the Trends Journal available to everyone. So we know people are having a difficult time out there, believe me. And so we have a discount request form. If you can't afford the full price and you're having problems, just fill out the form. Nothing in-depth or personal. And we will do our very best to make sure that you get it, because it's very important that people prepare for what was coming ahead. And if you can't see what's going to come ahead, if you're going to be blinded by the news and you're not prepared for it, you better be, because the worst is yet to come. We are about to enter the winter of discontent. And I have one thing to say, Alex. Stop using the word bankers. I don't believe it's appropriate. They're loan sharks. The loan sharks are in control.
Yes.
That's all they are. And by the way, that other word that they use, commodities brokers, stock brokers, the reason they call them brokers is because you're broker than you were before you started. That's what they are. They're brokers. They'll break you down. They'll steal your money. Look at all the trillions that were lost when the panic of 08 struck. Look at all the people that lost their pensions. Look at all the people that lost their retirement and savings. Their money in those legacy stocks that would never go down.
And none of them went to jail.
Happens?
Only Madoff, and as Madoff said from prison, he did what is standard procedure by the big boys. He was the founder of the NASDAQ. How fast do you see this degenerating? And I know you're not somebody to be pushed around, Gerald. You're a serious guy. What are you personally, you may not want to disclose it, but what are you planning to do against these crooks who now have just said, nah, we're taking your money?
You know, I'm doing what I can, but you're fighting against, you know, the system is so rigged that you can't get in there. So what I'm doing is I'm exposing the crooks. I'm exposing the cons and the frauds. And please put up that video that you had. I forget the fellow who did the piece on it last night, who posted it. He did an excellent job in reviewing it about the CME group. And they're either, as I said, it's either a lie, a con, or a fraud. They said they were going to guarantee it up to $100 billion. So what my work is, as yours is to keep exposing it. And we could change the system.
Are you talking about Rob Dew?
Everyone else speaks up.
Sure. Well, let's get more into that and then get Aaron's take on this. But Gerald, are you talking about the nightly news last night hosted by Rob Dew?
Yes, but not that. Rob did a great job. But whoever posted the piece on there, that what we broke about the CME Group's Duffy, Terrence Duffy, saying that no one lost a penny with CME Group, and that the CME Group, which is the exchange, like the New York Stock Exchange, the Commodities and Derivatives Exchange, they said they're backing this by $100 billion. So whoever posted that piece on your site, I forgot his name, he did a great job in it.
Was it Paul Watson? Was it Patrick Henningsen?
No, another name.
Aaron Dykes? Kurt Nemo?
Yes. That was
okay.
It. Kurt did it.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Tell me the headline, and then after you leave us, we'll play that piece because I haven't seen it. I've been on the road. Why is this so bombshell? Break down for folks what you're talking about specifically.
I sent this piece to you specifically because it says I have a videotape of the head of the CME Group, Terrence Duffy, saying that no one's ever lost a penny with the CME Group in commodities exchange going back to the Depression, and that they are guaranteeing it to a tune of $100 billion. He said this at a press conference with Mayor Daley last year. They've gone, as I said, it's either a con, a lie, or a fraud.
Okay, so you're saying Kurt Nemo did an article with that video, and we need to get that out to people. We'll certainly cover that.
You know, everyone should send it viral. Send it all to the media. It's the biggest breaking story out there.
Gerald.
The whole system is a fraud, and this proves it.
Gerald, do you remember the headline on that? And we'll repost it on the front page and make sure it gets emailed out. Or we'll call Nemo up here to the front office and find out what the headline is and put Nemo in studio. Because this is big. The fact that they're telling you, hey, this is 100% backed, 100% insured. But listen, they're already admitting the stock market's down hundreds of billions over this. They're already admitting that this is endangering the entire commodities future market derivatives even further. Why would they not pay the $700 million? This is incredible.
I don't believe they have it, just like Bernie didn't have it. If they have it, put it up, because they said they'd put up $100 billion. Here's the thing. Salenti CME discussed guarantee oversight on MF Global. And the show I did last night with Rob, we hit the points over and over. This needs to be brought out there. It's a Ponzi scheme. Why aren't they coming up with the money after Terrence Duffy said they would guarantee it to the tune of $100 billion, not $700 million?
All right, Aaron Dykes, I've raised a lot of points. Gerald's raised a lot of points. The last 4 minutes we have, or 3 minutes left with him. Any other questions or comments you've got from Gerald? And Gerald, any other points you think need to be made here today?
Well, first of all, Alex, the article that Gerald is talking about, the headline is Salente CMA did not guarantee oversight in MF Global scandal. That was Kurt's very nice article from yesterday afternoon. We didn't get to cover it until the Overdrive segment on the radio show, but that's why we got Rob Dew covering it in depth on the nightly news last night. And he's right. It breaks down really what is a fraudulent promise to guarantee this money when clearly they're just running interference for the big boys.
And now the system's just trying to play stupid. I mean, listen, I'm not just saying this, folks. I've studied this. I've called a lot of stuff. And I agree with Gerald. I think this is going to end up probably completely blowing up, I've got to say, 100 times the size of Madoff. Because with Madoff, that was $60-70 billion. With the CME Group and all these other groups and MF Global and what it ties into, this ties into tens of trillions, does it not, in the entire global derivatives futures market? But the final equation. television, it's more important just to spread the word about these videos and this information, because the White House is coming out saying they want to censor talk radio. They want to have an EAS alert system, as we covered earlier, breaking in over your computer, over your phone, with video and text messages, telescreens going into public places, forcing their message of fear and tyranny upon the public. And that only big sis and big government will save you. We are in an incredible time as the sleeping giant that is free humanity awakens. No one can deny that. As Congress's approval rating slides to 9%, the system is going to attempt false flag stage terror attacks to get us on their side and other type activities as a pretext to bring this clampdown in. But as we documented, getting secret MIAC and Homeland Security reports from good law enforcement who are following their oath, none of it has to do with foreign, quote, al-Qaeda Muslim threats. That's a red herring, an excuse. The entire system behind the scenes is for the American people, and now it's rolling out in the public. I wanted to get one of the most well-versed constitutional law scholars we interview, Michael Bagnarik, on the show. You know, we've talked to a lot of constitutional lawyers, Stuart Rhodes, you name it. They're great folks and fighting hard. But Michael has, and I've known him for 14, 15 years since he moved to Austin. I've been doing this 17 years. He's been doing it almost as long. He, of course, was the Libertarian presidential nominee in 2004 and did a great job coming in fourth in that election right behind Ralph Nader. And he's traveled the country teaching his constitutional law to groups of citizens. But now he's shifting gears after recuperating from a heart attack that actually killed him. He was brought back by the defibrillators, thank God. He's now going to speak before state legislatures, and he's working with Sheriff Mack on a very exciting operation to reach out to the sheriffs as well. And they're calling it Operation Domino Effect. We're going to talk about that before he leaves us. But first, look, we're not happy about it. We talked about it on the radio today. We've been proven right. Everything we warned of, Michael, is now unfolding. And where is it going to go next if we don't turn it around? I mean, why could you and I and Ron Paul and others see this historically coming and see all the signs that were as clear as the nose on my face or your face? And now people are just now waking up to it. And is that why we're seeing the establishment freak out and come down to the population with both feet?
It is. And really the psychological question is why people remain in denial for so long. There were people on the Titanic who refused to believe the boat was sinking because it's just too horrific. And I think that when we tell people that the Federal Reserve is counterfeiting our money and we've got FEMA concentration camps, I think people just get overwhelmed by the concept and they don't want to believe it. But they are believing it now. And as we said in an earlier program today, the government is so out of control that it's hard not to believe it. And we've got all these patriot groups out there. You can't throw a stick without hitting a protest rally. Things are changing rapidly. And we are hopefully teaching people the fundamentals, the philosophy that underscores the Constitution, so that they can understand why individual rights and private property are almost the same thing.
Well, that's right. Humanity has been through this over and over again, and that's why many historians and philosophers and teachers have said those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. People been through this over and over again. They went through 30, 40 years of it under British tyranny before they finally stood up and became the model of liberty worldwide. Now, that greatest model, I'm getting chills right now, is under assault. But that's because it's the antidote. And you're out there trying to administer the antidote. As a constitutional scholar, I want your take on this, because now we hear it's a privilege to own a gun, a privilege to drive a car, even though we have all the cases saying it's not. It's a privilege to fly. It's a privilege of this and that. And now they're saying it's a privilege to have the TSA on the highway sticking their hands down your pants. Well, then if it was something that was lawful, why didn't it happen before in this country? And why was it synonymous with authoritarian states? So as the TSA, with local police under their control, sure, it's 10th Amendment violators, sure, it's 4th Amendment, but specifically for citizens now, driving up to hundreds of officers, including Army, wanting to search their vehicles and their person, what do you do at that point, A, and B, as a scholar, explain to people who are brainwashed police and others that have been told that they're allowed to do this, why they're wrong.
Well, what we have to do is be brave enough to resist. No, you may not search my car, and I'm not sure how dangerous that'll be, but we all need to insist that they do not search our car. The legal ramifications of that is the Fourth Amendment. They have to have probable cause. They can't just come into your home and search just because they want to. They have to have probable cause, which means some physical evidence that leads to the probability of other evidence. That's why when a police officer stops you alongside the road, they always ask for permission to search your car, because they know they don't have the authority to do that. Unfortunately, most of us are intimidated. The police officers are tall, they're armed, and we just give in so that we can get this whole mess over with. The TSA, they are searching everybody that goes through. There is no probable cause that you have committed a crime. And it's only because everybody goes along with it. It's just kind of, that's the way we've always done it attitude that allows them to get away with it. And we need to have a lot more people. And you can search the internet. There are already cases where people refuse to do the body scan. They refuse to go through the scanner. I know of at least one lady that, you know, basically stripped down into her underwear and, you know, so people are protesting. And
oh, well, I've seen it myself. They have National Opt-Out Day last year, and it ended up for 2 weeks. They just turned the scanners off for longer and did none of it. They didn't want to give us a chance to protest and say no. But think about the legal idea that everyone's guilty until proven innocent, and the government's got to stop any potential crime before it starts. First, it's airports, then it's malls, and it's highways. And they've said, yes, we're going to be everywhere. I mean, it is so amazing. So explain to folks the Fourth Amendment. You know, it's houses, persons, papers, effects. I mean, it's your person. It's your body. What do you do when the state police pull you over and don't even ask? Grab your cell phone, plug it into a system to grab the whole contents. What do you do when you find that tens of thousands of Americans without warrants have GPS stuck on it and federal courts are ruling they can do that? I mean, this is a full-on assault on the Fourth Amendment, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And what your listeners need to know fundamentally is that individuals have rights. We are granted those rights by God, and those rights are unalienable. When we created the state governments and the federal government, we granted the governments privileges, and we can take those privileges away anytime we're brave enough to do so. The Declaration of Independence says that we can alter or abolish the government if it's in violation of our rights. So we have absolute total authority. We are the source of all political power in the United States if we are brave enough to exercise that power. So we have rights. The government has privileges. The government has no authority to change one of our privileges, our rights, into a privilege. I ask police officers if they have a church permit, and they look at me real funny, and I ask them if they've ever filled out a government form that allows them to exercise their religion. And they point out that the government has no authority to require a permit for the exercise of a right. And then I ask them to explain how the Second Amendment is any different.
I wanted to have fellow Austinite and patriot Eddie Craig in studio because in the last few years I've listened to his local radio show that can also be heard on the internet and learned a lot from it. I've studied the law quite a bit and learned about common law, Bill of Rights, Constitution. I've studied the court cases that traveling, locomotion is not a privilege, it's a right. I've learned about the Fourth Amendment, you name it. But when I listen to Eddie Craig, he can teach us so much more, but especially about state laws and traffic violations and what this whole police state's doing. And Eddie woke up similarly the way I did. When I was in high school, I saw police dealing drugs in Dallas and exposed it and was threatened. Eddie, as a Nacogdoches sheriff's deputy, saw a lot of corruption, things missing from the drug locker, and spoke out against it, and also revenue generation, and they came after him. So he'll be a guest from time to time here because he does live in Austin. But I thought in this short interview tonight on InfoWars Nightly News, we'd get him to just basically give you a snapshot of who he is and his awakening. and then really break down what's happened in our society, this road to tyranny. What is tyranny? So, Eddie, thanks for being here with us tonight. First off, spend a few minutes telling your story from the inside a sheriff's department and watching the local police department, and then expand out into how you would, in layman's terms, describe the process of going from a free society into an oppressive, tyrannical society. Because earlier, when we were standing around the water cooler after the radio, you had a good parable to basically describe that to people.
I'm originally an active duty Air Force member. I spent 14 years active duty in the Air Force. That's when I got my first real exposure to the way government actually operates from the inside. When I got out of that, I actually became a Nacogdoches Sheriff's Deputy. I worked inside the county jail. I worked with other individuals. I've worked with the local police officers there. And the people that I worked with, for the most part, were honest, hardworking people. They didn't really understand everything that was going on. They didn't even understand the laws associated with their job. And I'm one of these type of people that I don't settle for being second best at something. I may be second best, but it won't be because I settle for it. So I spent a lot of my time reading and studying the actual statutes that we were expected to enforce. I was also doing it for the purpose of, when I was working inside the jail, when these inmates would be brought in and booked, I wanted to know with relative certainty what the actual offense was they were being charged with, and so on and so forth, just for my own satisfaction. And it came to my attention that a lot of the people that were being brought in for things like public intoxication, traffic citation arrests, and so on and so forth, were being illegally brought into jail under false pretenses by both the Sheriff's Department, the DPS, and the local municipal police department there in Nacogdoches, where I live, and or did live before I came to Austin. But the more I noticed this, the more I started asking questions about it. And the real thing that got me out of the job there, per se, was by I actually caught one of my supervisors misusing public funds and property. He was actually doing his resume for one of the larger police departments in Dallas using county property. He was using the county booking camera, the county film supply, and basically everything to send out all these huge, fancy, picturesque resumes of himself to all these big municipalities because he wanted to get out of the small towns.
Was he also stealing the time?
Yes, he was. He was doing all this on the time when he should be working. He's in there doing this for his own personal business. And then he crashed the booking computer and asked me to help him fix it, which I didn't
do. That's dereliction of duty. It's stealing time and resources.
It's embezzlement is what it is. Mm-hmm. And and it's actually misuse of public funds and property. And when he saw that I understood what had happened and how it had happened, he sent me home early off of my shift. And then he actually went to our immediate supervisors the next morning and reported that I was the one that had caused the booking computer crash, even though I hadn't been the one that was on it. And when I tried to bring up the fact that it was this individual that had caused this problem and what he was doing in the interim, that's when things, they threatened me with jail and everything else if I wouldn't leave.
So the cover-up kicked in. And, of course, this is a microcosm of, say, Penn State, where for 18 years they've been covering it up and going after the police officers and people that tried to expose it. And that's a microcosm of the big mega banks controlling all the regulators and persecuting people at the SEC that blew the whistle. I mean, it's I guess, a system of where you went after something relatively petty, but they then tried to persecute you, making it something bigger, because undoubtedly there was more going on above that.
Well, they compounded it with the fact that I'd bringing up these other issues where these arrests were being done illegally, which, of course, affects the revenue generation, especially on the traffic citation side. Most of these arrests that were occurring were on a citation basis. And each one of those citations is worth X amount of dollars in revenue to the city. Basically, the laws of Texas are set up where a city gets to keep up to 50% of the amount of money collected in these fines and fees, while the other 50% goes to the state. So you can honestly say that the municipalities and the counties, their revenue generation is sanctioned by the state because it's a profit-sharing program. So the state won't interfere with it unless the individual causes such a stink as to make them have to look twice at the issues. That's where I come into play. My job is to educate people on what the actual law is. Here's what you're being told. Here's what it actually says. Here's how they're misusing it against you in order to commit fraud and to steal. They're basically taxing the people of Texas untold millions of dollars a year in fines and fees that don't even apply to us, that they should never have been allowed to apply to us. And compounded with these other things, yeah, that's one of the reasons they don't really like me over in that part of Texas anymore. That and the fact that I also went directly after the state comptroller's office for illegally forcing small unincorporated businesses to collect sales tax. Basically, there's no law in Texas that requires an unincorporated business to collect sales tax on behalf of the state. The state does not pay the individual to do it. The state does not in any way compensate them for doing it. Basically, they're forcing you into indentured servitude as their unpaid tax collector. It's on your dime that you have to take the time to accumulate the money, prepare the reports, file the reports, and pay in the money. And that's all out of your pocket, and the state doesn't compensate you in any way for it. That, in my book, is indentured servitude. When I challenge the state on this, that's when they begin raiding my business under false pretenses, SWAT style. They actually raided my computer repair service business three separate times at gunpoint. You would think they were raiding one of the largest drug labs in all of Texas the way they came in there.
And again, this is the law. You were telling me earlier about the case here in Austin that they've now won with these golf carts that drive people around for no money but a tip if they want to give it. And the police had no statute to be even giving them tickets. They've now been defeated in court, but they won't run that on the news. But we're going to get to that in a moment. Define for people the process of going from liberty to tyranny and how it takes place.
Well, it takes place over time. If they actually tried to do it all at once, the people would see it for what it is and rise up against it. That much I honestly believe. But over generations, what they've done, they have slowly indoctrinated us into accepting this is the way things are. They teach it to our kids in school. They teach it to the teenagers in college. They teach it to the adults now that have grown from that generation on up, and it's been a slow over time type of thing, and we've come to accept it where now we've got the public servants have now tried to convert our society of being from their attitude of being a servant into their attitude of being the master of the people. They've completely done a role reversal on the way our republic was set up. The analogy I believe I gave you in relation to this was when a rancher fails to control the coyote population on his ranch, he will see a direct inverse proportion in population to his livestock to the increase in population of the predatory base. So if he fails to keep that predatory base culled down, then he loses money, he loses control of his property, and you know he eventually gets done in by that. And what we've got now is the state, instead of becoming the servant and protecting the rights of the people as we set them up, they have become the predator. And we, the people, are not keeping that predatory base minimized.
And that's what the founders warned us about.
Exactly.
It's common sense. It happens in every culture. And every form of classical tyranny is now being set up. But they've gone further, adding all this high-tech grid to it. And now in all these training manuals that good police have sent us that have made national news, they say returning veterans are the enemy, gun owners, libertarians, people that talk about the Constitution. We just broke down how our environment is being assaulted in what is admitted to be a global secret program of geoengineering. It's an admission that there is a secret program going on. We need to know exactly what that program entails and how this aluminum dioxide, barium salts, and sulfur dioxide is affecting not just plant and animal life, but human life as well as the levels of toxic metals goes up in our soil. And our next guest is going to speak to one of the real canaries in the coal mine of the different biospheres that are on this planet. And then Gerald Celente is joining us, of course, after that. He has had his bank account robbed, all part of the globalist world depression that's being engineered. He had the gold out of his account stolen. Just incredible information breaking here coming up with Gerald Celente after this interview. Now, Conrad Bouffard, if I'm pronouncing that right.
Yes, sir.
Is our guest. And let me tell you, we are so blessed
to have somebody like this right here in Central Texas. He is recognized by many publications, and I have a list of them here, as one of the leading beekeepers in the world. He has the largest beekeeping school in the world. That is undisputed. He started out in bee removal instead of just killing bees that are so important for our environment and the entire life cycle from plants on up. He specialized in that. And he got so busy, he quit being a school teacher and moved on from there to now being one of the most successful beekeepers in the world. And his honey is also, of course, shipped all over the United States and the world. And I was mentioning to him that my uncle had worked for Fane's Honey going back, you know, 20 years ago. And he said, oh, yes, we work with Fane's. So I know that's another company that's real raw honey, not mixing in corn syrup or all that other garbage. And they don't strain out all the good stuff that's in it. So we're going to talk about what is real honey, what's happening with colony collapse all over the world, and this report by Texas A&M that 76 or 77%, depending on the brand they tested, of major companies had no honey in it. And I mean that as an oxymoron or as a pun, because it's not honey if it doesn't have pollen in it, and he's going to explain that. It's no longer honey. It's been cooked. It's been totally changed. And it's great to have you here, Conrad. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to just give you the floor. You heard the points I threw out. Run through it and where we stand today.
Sure. Well, you know, this article was like a godsend for most beekeepers, especially beekeepers that are interested in producing raw, unfiltered, unheated honey. And it basically revealed what most all beekeepers know, that the large honey companies are filtering out the pollen and the large sugar crystals and cooking honey from raw honey when they get it in to put it on the shelf, because they believe that consumers want that. They believe that the consumers want honey that isn't really honey by definition. Honey by definition includes the nectar from plants that bees have converted, you know, through their natural processes into the syrupy part of honey, and then the pollen. And the pollen is a critical part. If you take that out, it's not honey. And so, you know, anyone can tell you that honey has to have pollen. So when some of these larger companies come around, and as they've been doing for years now, and take all the pollen out, it does nothing good for the consumer, and it's kind of like taking the engine out of a car.
That's like the system telling us we want white Wonder Bread and not wheat bread. But over the decades, they found, oh, the public doesn't really want that. And, you know, when you have allergies, they say eat local honey because it has the allergens in the area. I mean, that's always what's been in honey. That's part of it. And can you speak to, I mean, there's a lot of research done on the amazing health benefits of real raw honey, like Round Rock honey we've got here on the table.
Yeah, you know, there are many benefits to honey. It's been shown to reduce blood pressure. It, in my opinion, has been, and the opinion of many other experts, has been shown to reduce allergies or allergic reactions, histamines, histamine-type reactions, rather. It, taken over time, it can normalize blood sugar levels. If you have a wound on your skin, if you get burned, you can put honey on it, and it will actually help heal that wound because honey naturally draws water and keeps the skin moist. It helps.
And it was the only thing still surviving in the Egyptian tombs 3,000 years old.
Yeah, honey is the only food in nature that's naturally, you know, self-preserving. That's why you can put it in a bottle. You could put it in this glass bottle here and come back in 5,000 years, and it would still be totally edible.
What are the big companies, and we have a list of them, that you see dominating store shelves where it's almost completely clear like water, right? And it tastes terrible. I mean, I don't like the processed honey. As a child, my mother would buy both kinds. I always liked, you know, the real brown honey. And you know, more and more people are starting, obviously, to buy the real honey because I see it starting to displace the establishment, you know, so-called natural stuff. But what is that stuff that's on the shelves that is devoid of any flavor and doesn't have any pollen in it?
Sure, it's honey that, and not all honey producers are doing this, but it's mostly among the large honey producers. And typically what they do is, you know, they filter out all the pollen, they heat it above 130 degrees, sometimes for days on end. And the reason why they do that is they want to make all the sugar crystals inside the honey the same size, and they want to filter out all the pollens, because the pollens are, of course, what make it crystallize quicker. So they think, you know, that crystallized honey is bad, and they know what's best for the consumer, so they're going to tell the consumer that it's bad. And they, it's kind of this self-fulfilling prophecy that that some consumers believe this, but actually, in reality, if you were to go around to most consumers, they believe that they want honey straight out of the hive because it's, you know, it's a God-given product. It's, there's nothing wrong with honey as it comes straight out of the hive. In fact, you can go, like I did when I first started keeping bees, over here in East Austin, and pull a hive straight out of a church wall or out of a home, the wall of a home or out of an attic, and eat it right there. And, it, you know, it's completely edible.
Well, that's what I buy, and we actually have listeners that also sent it to us. I buy the sliced cord, right. And that's what I like, and then I just spit the wax out.
Right.
I mean, that has the real flavor when it's in the, I mean, obviously you're the expert, but just my taste buds like the, you know, the, in the comb.
Right, right, and if you take comb honey, usually at the bottom of the each cell of the comb, there's usually a little bit more pollen that, you know, just because of gravity, that collects in the bottom part there. So, you know, if you're eating comb honey, you're getting, you know, a little bit more, a little bit higher concentration of pollen. That's just based on my own experience. And then also chewing the wax helps, you know, remove all sorts of things from your teeth. It's a good way to manage tartar in your teeth.
From your research, why? I mean, even medical doctors tell people that have allergies, you need to go and you start eating a lot of local honey when allergy season kicks in. And I've done it myself. It really alleviates a lot of it. What's happening?
You mean what? When
you eat the local honey, why is it helping with allergies?
I see what you're saying. So you're taking in a small amount of pollen, and you're having a small immune reaction. And over time, your body builds up a tolerance to that. It's the same concept as, you know, allergy shots, building up tolerance over time until you're at such a point where you don't react anymore to that particular pollen.
Now, I want to get into the fact that you have the largest beekeeping school in the world. That's great that you're bringing real, true agriculture back to society.
Right.
And I'm also interested in what I've read about tax incentives, where people can, even on small pieces of property, knock their property taxes down to almost nothing if they beekeep. I was reading where Bon Jovi has like some $10 million piece of property, but he pays $100 a year. I'm very interested in that because I think we live out in the country. My wife's like, let's get the ag exemption with some donkeys. And I'm like, no, let's do bees. But right. Before we get into that business angle of avoiding, you know, the big wicked tax man, who wants to squeeze us to pay it to offshore bankers. What about the crisis bees are going through? There's all these different reports that it's the pesticides, the BT corn, the cell towers, the chemtrails. I'm sure it's a cocktail of things, but from your deep research, because you are respected around the world by folks for being one of the biggest beekeepers out there, what's your gut dead reckoning that's causing this, and how big is the crisis? I've seen numbers in some areas of 80% of the bees gone.
Right, and I think that that's true. I don't. I think that I couldn't put a number on it, but I can say that I don't know a single beekeeper who is doing pollination, like you know, cross-continent pollination, who hasn't lost more than half of his hives. And
yeah, I saw that as the average. Some areas are around 80, they were saying.
Right, right. And areas like upstate New York, some parts of Southern California, and this is just talking to people I know in those areas, you know, they've lost everything. I mean, forget 80, 90%. They've lost 100%. They lost every single hive.
Wow.
And I don't know the man, but I heard from another person who knows a gentleman in Florida who took his hives to Montana. And when he got there, the bees were alive. They came back, I think it was 7-10 days later, and literally every hive, there wasn't a bee around anywhere. I mean, they were just gone. And so what that tells me, and also based on just my gut feeling, is that it is exposure to pesticides, and it's a new class of pesticides. There's been a lot of research on neonicotinoids and other types of pesticides like that. Of course, that may not be 100% of the reason. There may be other things like travel fatigue with, you know, the cross-country pollination and stuff like that. But it wasn't, things didn't get really bad until these other chemicals started being introduced.